In the name of Jesus, amen. It's so good to see all of you here. You made it through two, not one, but two Stranger Things sermons. And here we are back firmly in Genesis chapter 6. You know, as I think about Genesis chapter 6, something that came up to my mind was something that's been happening in El Salvador. It had, at one time, the worst murder rate in the Western Hemisphere. It had about 106 people killed for 100,000 people, which doesn't seem that much unless you think that, or consider, in America, it's about 4 or 5 out of 100,000. They were 106. But in 2022, things began to change with fairly newly elected president, and the rate has gone down from 106 to 1.4. What a change! Yeah, what a change! Crime has plummeted, gangs don't run neighborhoods anymore, extortion was very common, and that's been almost obliterated, so you have thousands of businesses that have opened, so, you know, small shops and things. Burglary down 60%, carjacking almost non-existent when it was common before. And the list goes on. But the change happened at a high cost. You know how they did it? They rounded up about 100,000 gang members and they put them in prison camps, and they're still there today. Now, one of the criticisms was that the innocent were swept up with the guilty. And indeed, going through the prisoners, they ended up releasing 8,000 of them who were not gang members. So today we have an account of Noah's flood. And we have the Lord God making sweeping changes, sweeping judgment. And no one was found innocent except Noah and his family. God looked upon the earth, and it was Noah and his family that were righteous before him. So we're going to look at that this morning. The title of the sermon is The True Nature of Man and God. And the first thing I'm going to look at is the true state of humanity as we get it here in the book of Genesis, and then look at the repentance of God. It may sound a little strange. It's King James Version language, and it's perfectly fine once we understand what that means. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for bringing us together. We don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to receive your holy sacrament, the sacrament of your Son's body and blood. But you love us. You have had mercy on us. You have enlightened us with your gifts through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word and the sacrament. So keep us, Lord. And give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the true nature of humanity. Open up your bulletins to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. True state of humanity. And let's read that together, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil, only evil continued. Excuse me. And so we get a pretty stark view of humanity pre-flood. Let's jump over to verses 11 and 12. Read those. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So what is the state of humanity in the pre-flood world? It is utter corruption. And it's not just in their way, it's in their intention of their heart. And their way and their heart, one of the big issues, certainly wouldn't be the only issue, but one of the big issues that God points out is violence. A violent people. You know, think of the whole world being Port-au-Prince, Haiti. It was a nightmare world. where there's no true religion, except among Noah and his family. No true religion. There certainly would have been religion. Who knows, maybe there are even people that call themselves spiritual but not religious. But none of it was true. All of it was corrupted by human reason, human understanding, human sin. And there wouldn't have been civilization, not in the way we think of it, because you don't have civilization, anything that's good and helpful and encourages peace, if you have people, by and large, living in violence. Right? You know, when we think about the gifts that God has given us, and we thank God for those, we really should be thanking Him for civilization as well. Because you look around the world, in some places it's fallen apart. I think that's a good gift that we can easily look over, maybe even dismiss, until you've been in another part of the world and it's totally different. Right? We got a couple pastors here in town that are going to be going to Haiti here soon in September. We'll be praying for them with some others. They're going to get a interesting view of how low culture, society can fall. So, civilization. That's out the window when you have widespread violence. And then you have a lack of righteousness as well. And I want to focus in here just a bit on righteousness and what that means. You know, Luther would talk about different kinds of, loosely speaking, we talk about different kinds of righteousness. He said we could talk about kings being righteous. We would say, politicians, if they're wise and honest. Parents being righteous in loving their children. Children being righteous, learning, to grow and avoid, in a healthy way, avoiding drugs and alcohol and putting their mind to their studies. A boss being righteous, by the way he treats his employees and giving them fair pay and so forth. But there's two big kinds of righteousness that Luther would point out, and we should keep these in mind, okay? The first is righteousness before men, and the second is righteousness before God. The first is what? Righteousness before men. What is that? That is the wise politician, the loving parents. It's the fair boss, the honest employee. It's the helpful neighbor. All of which, by the way, is good. All those things are good. But none of them, the righteousness before men is not a key to heaven. And I think even Luther people, lose track of this. That righteousness before men does not avail before God for our salvation. Now Luther rightly then talks about the righteousness before God. And what is that? The righteousness before God, that is that righteousness that avails for our salvation, that is the key that unlocks heaven, is this. It is faith in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of sinners. That is the righteousness that is the doorway into a fellowship, a relationship with God, and into heaven itself. Now, oftentimes, when the world looks at the righteousness of God, the Christian message of Jesus, and righteousness in Him, oftentimes the world is going to despise that. It's been written without any merit or work on our own. We must be justified by Christian righteousness, which has nothing to do with the righteousness of the law. By Christian righteousness, faith in Christ, that has nothing to do with the righteousness before men. And if you forget about these two things, I think there's some dangers here. You know, if you forget that the righteousness before men is not the righteousness before God, then I think one of the things will happen is that you think by your behavior, by being the good neighbor, by being the fair boss, by being the wise politician, you can be that person that redeems yourself, that saves yourself. And if you forget about the righteousness before God, what is actually righteous before God, if you forget about that, then it's going to be much easier to look upon yourself and say, I must be damned because of my sins. It's much easier for you to live in continual doubt, especially if you have good self-awareness and you haven't deceived yourself that you too are a sinner. Okay, now let's bring that. You know, now it wants to call 911. What a demon watch. All right. I always turn it off when I get up here until I forget. So let's go with that, okay? Let's go with that. Back. So these two types of righteousness, righteousness before man, righteousness before God. And let's bring this into Genesis chapter 6 for a moment. Because the point of the matter is that in the pre-flood world, they didn't have either, right? They didn't have the righteousness before men because it's filled with violence, and they didn't have the righteousness before God. They are rotten to the core. And God measured every person, and only Noah and his family made it on the ark, and even that was by grace. Now, if the truth be told, we're still in a mess. Right? Humanity is still in a mess. As a matter of fact, sometimes we feel it so much that we can look at ourselves, we look at ourselves in the mirror and says, self, you're a mess today. Self, you've been a mess lately. Self, you need to straighten up. You need to straighten up and fly right, as the old song goes. Straighten up and walk right with the Lord. The problem that humanity has always had since the fall, whether it's pre-flood or now, is that we live in a state of total depravity. Now, what that doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that there can't be wise politicians or loving parents or obedient children or fair bosses or honest employees or helpful neighbors. What it means that there is this total depravity is that every part of us, without Christ, is touched, corrupted by sin. Every part of us is infected by sin. And that's why Paul says, the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in the book of Romans, says there is no one righteous, no, not one. Not talking about the righteousness before men, talking about that righteousness that avails before God, the righteousness before God, the righteousness which is the door to heaven, which is Jesus Himself. There is none righteous, no, not even one. But He also says in Romans 10, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be what?
Saved.
Well, you know, I trust all of you are saved here this morning. But in case someone's not, how can you be saved? Well, you can be saved because of what Jesus did for you in that bloody crucifixion, and frankly, His whole life ministry, keeping the law for you, and beyond the cross, in the resurrection. How can you be saved? Call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, be my Savior. Lord, I trust in You. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Call on the name of the Lord in faith. On the day of the flood, God had taken account of everybody on the earth, and only a few were saved. And on the day of judgment, at the second coming of Christ, the Lord's going to do that again. He's going to take account of every single person, living and dead. And only those who are forgiven in Christ, who have called upon the name of the Lord, will be saved on that day. Let's talk about the repentance of God. And here we're going to get in, we talk about the true nature of man. Now, with this repentance of God, we're going to get into a bit of the true nature of God, okay? So open your bulletins to verses 6 and 7 of the text. 6 and 7. Excuse me, sorry. Put that in my hymnal, that's not going to help. And let's read that together. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. This is what is called the repentance of God. So the true nature of man is total depravity. People don't get it. People don't want to believe it. It's like preaching again. It's like that person I mentioned before. I'm out in Arizona bringing my mom to physical therapy. I would try to have struck up a discussion, but my mom was hurting, so I need to get her inside. But if the shirt said something like, you know, it was more involved, but it was something like, just be good. Be a good person. Okay? That's, you but late. You're only looking at that as the righteousness before men. You're not seeing the righteousness before God, and you haven't looked at the law, which is, acts as a mirror and shows us ourselves. What was that? Okay, this is all off the cuff here, so just bear with me. But, you know, our hymn of the day, 555. What do we think? What do we say? Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to who? Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. And then in verse 2, what God did in his law to man, and none to him could render, cause wrath and woe on every hand. You know, the law, what does it say? The law acts as that mirror in the hymn. And in the Bible, it acts as that mirror showing us ourselves. So, back up. The true nature of man is total depravity, apart from Christ. The true nature of God, well, a whole lot could be said about that, but I'm going to limit it to what we see in the text here. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Moses talks about the Lord this way. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? When we repent, it means that we have a change of mind, change of heart about our sin, and we're agreeing with God about what He has said about that sin. Right? That's what repentance is. And of course, that leads to a change of life, as imperfect as it is. Right? The person who's stolen is convicted by God, he repents, that is, he has a change of mind and say, yeah, actually that was bad. I can't use my excuses for doing it as a reason for making it okay. The person who is a hateful person, who hates his neighbor, is convicted by God and understands then the love that Jesus has for all the world, the love he gave to that person you hate, and comes under conviction, right? That's repentance. A change of mind that leads to a change of life. When God repents, it's different. All that is a change of mind towards sinful people. So, in Genesis 6:6, we heard God was sorry He made them. The God who does not repent, repented. And why is that? Because God always acts according to His character. He is always going to be grieved by the wickedness of wicked people, He's always going to be greed, like he was in the pre-flood world, with the character of the people in which there is no righteousness before man, no righteousness before God. Why? That's according to his character, because God is holy in himself. He is righteous and he is judge. By the way, it works the other way too. Remember Jonah? Jonah goes and preaches repentance to Nineveh, that in 30 days the Lord's going to bring judgment upon you. And the people of Nineveh repented in sackcloth and ashes, and God withholds his judgment. Why? Because that goes according to God's character, that he has forgiveness and mercy to those who are repentant. People can be fickle at times. Some people are more fickle than others, right? You know, maybe this is my best friend today, and then tomorrow this is my worst enemy. Maybe you've had that experience more than in high school. Or someone who's, McDonald's is the best place ever. I'm going to McDonald's all the time, and then for some reason one day it switches and Sonic is the best thing on the planet. Or for years it's been blue. Blue's my favorite color, and then all of a sudden it's green. And if they're smart, it'll be army. That's
for sure. Navy blue.
I'm glad I'm old and I couldn't hear that. All right. But see, God is not like man. God is not flighty. And this is what Moses in the book of Numbers was getting to. God is not flighty. He himself doesn't change his mind on a whim. God acts according to his character, to judge sin and to have mercy on the repentant. So, when we look at Genesis chapter 6, we can see some things then about the nature of man and the nature of God. The nature of man is indeed that without Christ, man is totally depraved. And we have the same problems as the rest of the world, but we're not totally depraved because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have something holy and good in us that is not touched by sin as we are. In God, we see something of his nature, that he remains consistent to his character, that he is not flighty. And he who has saved you, and some of you have been saved for many decades, still loves and forgives you today. Right? He's not a man that he should repent and say, no longer do I love you. He's not a man that he should say, he who has accepted you in holy baptism and washed you clean, he through his Son who has fed you with the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Supper of the Lord, he is not a man to say all of a sudden, now, get out of here. Get out of here. The nature of God is such that we have confidence, not in ourselves, we have confidence in him. Amen.